On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Hello, we're back. What a start. Yes, I know. It was the drive time show pressing the wrong buttons again. Oh, attempt number three. Good evening and welcome to Radio Newark Sport. If you're still with us, two sports show favourites back in the studio tonight. Team Sheldrake update is on their 2018 exploits. I said all this once, but nobody was listening to me. The Twins finally report from Sports Village and Graham joins us with all the Striders news. It's action-packed. It's all about you. It's the renowned Radio Newark Sport. And it can only get better, can't it? Long Bennington came back from Chesterfield with all 3 points to maintain their unbeaten record at the top of the Notts Youth League. Max Hardy scoring a brace in a 4-2 victory. Farndon Colts hit 7 at Loudon and moved back to second place. James Scott hit 2 in the first 10 minutes before Elliot Burrell took over with a hat-trick. And the RHP under-15s recorded their first victory in 5 items with 4 goals. Against Pelican Colts at the Sports Village. And the Green and White Sunday team also scored 4. They beat Immingham 24 hours later. The manager's son, Ryan Atwood, with a couple of goals. A great day for the Jaguars wheelchair basketball junior section. They beat Norwich and then they went on to beat Aylesbury. What a team. And the rugby club under-13 boys played 4 matches against their Doncaster counterparts, giving the large squad maximum run out. 3 victories and 1 draw. I don't reckon that's a bad comeback for Newark. Well, now we've finally turned all the buttons on, we can actually sort of say good evening to both our guests, because I think hopefully we're going to hear them. Good evening, both of you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And it works. That's absolutely wonderful. Well, a bit of a false start there, but we're up and running now. That's the main thing. We missed some of the national headlines because we haven't got Tony tonight. He's gone off from watching football. So it falls to Richard to talk about the national sporting headlines. So I've got 3 for you. I've got cricket, I've got football, and I've got athletics. Which one do you want first?
Cricket, please.
Cricket. And the bans on Steve Smith, David Warner and Cameron Bancroft will not be reduced, says Cricket Australia, following a great amount of speculation in the last few days that they would be. So, the question to you, Richard, was those bans over the top? Should they be reduced? Or is cheating simply not going to be allowed?
No, Cricket Australia have stuck to their guns, quite rightly, in my opinion. I think the ban should stay. I'm not sure that they should be increased, but they certainly shouldn't be decreased. So bring on the Ashes next summer and the warm reception that we'll be giving all 3 of them if they play again.
I've always felt a little bit sorry for Bancroft because he was used. And he should have had more about him, yeah, I understand that. But he was used. And I think Steve Smith was probably bullied into doing what he did. I've got nothing, David Warner, because I think he was probably the instigator in the whole lot of this.
Yes, he's got plenty of form, hasn't he, as not being a particularly nice person. So, I think Bancroft has got a long future ahead of him. Steve Smith, fantastic batsman. But I don't think he was a strong enough leader. He clearly knew what was going on and didn't stop it. So, yeah, he got sucked into it. But, yeah, Warner, with all the comments he's made in the past to some of our boys in particular,
Well, the Burstow one is the one that sticks in mind, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the comments to Jonathan Trott on the previous tour were bad enough, but the Burstow ones were even worse. Absolutely unacceptable.
It is, totally. Football and England look like doing. They've done quite well in the Nations League, and they're going to get to the finals next year in Portugal, and Scotland may go into some playoffs and Northern Ireland could be promoted and all things like that. Any form of sport, Richard, being competitive has got to be better than meaningless friendlies.
Yeah, I mean, I, as you know, I support a championship club, so maybe I would say this, but I just think the Premiership has too much power over the national team when it comes to friendlies. You know, players are pulled out with mystery injuries. They then seem to be absolutely fine to play for their Premiership clubs the following weekend. So this Nations League, I wasn't sure about the format first off. It sounded quite complicated, but who would have expected England to top a group with Croatia and Spain in it?
And it's got everybody happy again, hasn't it?
But the Premier Division, the Premier League, have got all the power. They've got all the aces. And whatever the FA tried to tell us about they're doing for grassroots sport, and even the Championship and that, no, they're not, are they?
No, absolutely not. And the whole saga with Scudamore's bonus and the clubs being asked or told, depending on how you view it, to cough up £250,000 each for the golden handshake to Scudamore, when actually, you know, he's a pretty rich man as it is. And actually, I was very chuffed that five clubs actually said no. And, you know, from what I've read, the fans of those clubs are very proud of their club's actions, but the 15 other clubs still coughed up there.
And still went along with it. Finally, British Olympic sprinter Nigel Levine has been banned from all sport for 4 years after failing a drug test. This is a real one for you. The European indoor gold medalist was... gold medalist was provisionally suspended in December. Well, the bit I want to get at, really, is it was a banned asthma drug that he was believed or found guilty of taking in an out-of-competition test. And it's not the first time that the likes of an asthma drug has reared its head in all this. Is he naive? Should there be people there saying, you know, you can and you can't? Or what's the background to this sort of story? And I mean, you can look at this from a professional, from a sports person, from any angle you want to, and your answer is going to be spot on. But where do you think the background is to somebody who's going to turn around now and say, well, it was an asthma drug and I thought I could take it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know the full details of the case, but this seems to happen quite often with professional sportsmen, you know, taking a cynical attitude. There's a lot of very high performance athletes that have asthma that can still perform at a very high level, but he was either very naive or badly advised. But even as an amateur sportsman, you know, I need to have an awareness of what is banned and what isn't banned, you know, what can be used and what can't be used, because potentially in my sport of cycling I could be randomly drug tested. I haven't been, but you know, that is those are the rules and that is the punishment, so he's going to have to accept it.
If it does keep rearing its head, don't it, Rachel? I mean, we had the tennis player, didn't we, a couple of years ago, who was taking a recreation drug or whatever. There's a difference between are they an out-and-out cheat or are they just being naive and badly advised, and you don't know which is which, do you? There's only the one person that's going to know that.
Absolutely. Or, well, unless there's somebody, advising them incorrectly as part of their wider team. But, yes, there's only that person truly is going to know whether they actually really need to be.
Are we keeping up with the drugs that athletes can use? Or is it, are we forever chasing, as soon as that door's closed, somebody opens another one? Or are we over the worst of drugs in cycling, drugs in athletics?
That's a difficult question. I worry that we aren't over the worst, that there's always going to be, you know, money talks, there's always going to be that potential influence to try to cheat to win the big prizes, be they trophies or money or whatever. And there seem to be enough, you know, exercise physiologists or whatever you want to call them, team doctors that, are happy to bend the rules and try to get the athletes to do perhaps what they wouldn't want to do, but ultimately feel they have to do to get right to the top. And it's very, very sad to see. And, you know, I think all amateur sports fans or all amateur sportsmen that actually watch their professional heroes want to believe that those athletes are clean. But when these stories keep surfacing, can we be sure?
Because if you throw enough
mud, not mud and miles,
but if you throw enough, some of it will stick. The likes of Bradley Wiggins and Chris Froome, I'm not saying they've been tarnished, but the names, when you mention it now, everybody will bring up, oh, well, what about that story?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll never get away from that. And they're both, no doubt, totally innocent of anything. But every time now, that's probably why it's not Sir Chris Froome.
Possibly. Or maybe he's a bit further down Queenie's list and hasn't made it to the top yet. You know, we don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, let's move off stories like that and find out what you two have been up to in 2018, because it. I love sitting back and hearing some of these stories, because while I'm sitting in front of the television watching Match of the Day, you two are on top of some mountain somewhere, sailing from the top or whatever. let's start with ladies first. Rachel, your 2018, and of course, your Mud and Miles, is it still going strong?
Yes, I'd say Mud and Miles has been getting stronger and stronger over 2018. Certainly been busier and busier and got more and more clients this year. And in all aspects of the business, really. So, you know, a lot more people coming out and enjoying guided runs, both evenings and weekends. More people coming to my coach sessions, more people asking to be coached. And I've had, I think, 4... really successful weekends away as well with people, possibly 5 actually, if I count rightly. So there's been that many that I can't really remember. So yes, it's been a really busy but really productive year, and really good to see clients coming back over and over again and seeing them progress in their running as well, seeing them increase their speed, their distance, their confidence in running off road. It's been a really rewarding year.
It's an interesting place in Newark with Striders and with Not Fast and what Tom Marshall's doing, what you're doing. I don't think there's possibly a stronger town than what we've got here.
No, I would agree with you, actually, yeah. I think there's a huge amount of provision for running in Newark, because obviously you've got the Athletics Club as well, and I think... with the forthcoming track opening as well, at the new sports hub.
In 5 minutes, we're going to the new track.
Oh, fantastic. There's a lot of provision for people that want to run in Newark, whether, regardless of what it is they want to do, whether it's, somebody who wants to start running from scratch, or whether it's people who want to improve, people that want to go more down the athletics route, people that want to run off-road. There's a massive... choice of provision for them at different levels, and it's nice. What's nice to see is that there are people who kind of cross between all of those. I've got clients that from both the running clubs, and people don't necessarily sort of put themselves into one hole, but they actually sort of enjoy sort of picking from different aspects, which is really good to see.
I do like the way that whatever club you seem to be in, they all mix together when it's that time. There's no them and us. In football, I'm used to them and us. Mm. If you support Sheffield Wednesday, you don't talk to anybody who supports Sheffield United, County Forest. But with athletics, especially in this town, we've got the all clubs runs and things. And I think that's
right, yeah.
The likes of yourself that's brought them together, and they're now taking it back out again.
No, absolutely. I think running is a very sociable sport anyway, and so and people are very supportive of each other, and I think the other thing I would add to that is that what Park Run has done for that as well, because there are a lot of people in Newark who have got to know the running community and each other, and indeed chosen which club they want to join through Park Run, so that's had a massively positive influence. I think there is some friendly rivalry between the clubs, as I'm sure you'll be aware of. I think it's the end of this week. There's a Striders versus Not Fast quiz going on, which is happening because the football match that went on between Striders and Not Fast didn't go in Not Fast's favour, so Striders have been challenged to a quiz. So there's some friendly rivalry going on, Mick. Don't think it's all friendly.
There's something going off, because I got an email from Graham Welsh, who we talked to at about 7:45 from the Striders, telling me he wants a drum roll. So there's something going on.
Yeah. Oh, there's always something going on. You're absolutely right, Mick. Yes.
Friendly rivalry is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. It's all good fun. Very quickly then, your 2018 highlight.
For me personally, for my own running, has to be running the Lakes Traverse in May, which was, 60-odd miles across the Lake District, non-stop.
You see, when I invite these in, this is what I am in awe of. 60-odd miles across the Lake District, non-stop.
Yes. Yeah, 12,000 feet of climbing and descending, and an incredible race, self-navigating as well, so there was no one to show me the way.
There's not many signposts there, I want to thought.
There were very few signposts. There were a few in the first couple of miles and a few in the last couple of miles, but that was it. Apart from that, it was here's the map, here's the route, put an electronic tracker on you, off you go, get on with it, and hope that we'll turn up at the end.
What sort of time?
I can't even remember what time I did it in. It was about 25 hours, I think, it was really hard to know because I never run that far before. So I didn't know what to expect. The most I'd done before was 32 miles, mostly around Clumber and Sherwood Forest. So, a little bit different in terms of terrain. So, it was a big step up for me. So, I was pleased with it really because of that time, I only spent probably, an hour and 20 minutes actually not moving forwards, as in, actually eating and drinking and having a little break. It was Richard that was doing the chatting, yeah.
It's a remarkable achievement. What about, you're carrying your food then?
Not all of it, no. There were two feed stations, one at about 32 miles and one at 45 miles, so I could get food there. But obviously I had to carry food for the first part of the run. So I had a little backpack with water in. Water was the most difficult thing because there was nowhere to refill water in theory for 27 miles. Although fortunately I happened to run by a little shop that was open, so I was able to nip in and buy some cold water. So you had to be pretty self-sufficient really, because the race had got regulation kit. You had to have certain waterproofs, first aid kit, map and compass. We had to have, even though it was in May, we had to have hat and gloves, those kind of things, because obviously you're up in the mountains. Yeah. So there was a fair bit of race kit to carry. But I did have some food with me, just to keep me going in between the feed stations, a little ongoing picnic.
I'm going to say now, there is not a chance that Richard is going to outdo that.
Might want to ask him.
Not a chance. And now we go direct to Newark Athletics Club's brand new running track to talk to the twins. And you're both standing right smack bang in the middle of that track.
Yep, we're on the new track.
Tell us about it then, because we're all sitting in the radio studio. Just tell us what you're looking at, what your surroundings are. And then I want you to go for a little jog along that track, because the first jog along that track is going to be on Radio Newark.
All the lights are up and it looks really new. All the tracks lined out. There's loads of people. There's loads of younger groups warming up, but there's loads of people here. We've got the big session, which we're for our session. We've got a lot of people. And then we've got Bill's session, which has come to join us. And then we've got the under 11s and under 13s. And all the grass in the middle is nice and new. Just looks amazing, really.
But you're not allowed on that grass, are you?
No, I don't think so.
No, you'll get told off if you go on that grass. Right, are you both there?
Yeah, we are.
Right, are you ready then? On your marks.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, dear.
Right, we're ready.
On your marks. Get set. Go.
Where are we running to?
Until I tell you to stop. What's it like to run on?
It's actually really nice. It's different to running on grass. It feels quite bouncy.
Okay, you can both stop now. Right, now tell me again. What's, because you've obviously been on other running tracks, what's the feel of this one?
I quite like it, actually. It feels like home turf.
And you say you're going to get used to it. Is there's a big Newark AC crowd down there tonight?
Massive, yeah. So many people. Yeah, it's really good.
What have you got to tell me about what they did at the weekend? Was it a quiet weekend in the build-up to this?
There was no one running apart from Amber in America who did a race. And she came 72nd, I think.
Yeah.
And she did a race in... Where was that? In
Georgia.
In Georgia. So she had to have a two-day trip down there. And then they raced. They came fourth as a team.
Yeah.
So they did pretty well as a team. So she did well. And that's it, really. This weekend, we've got... We've got the indoor at Sheffield, and I think we have a sports hall as well this weekend.
So we've got lots to tell me about next week. One more job this week for you both. Is Dad there?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Right, I need a photo of both of you two on the track, please.
All right, I will do.
Send it to me and I can make a story.
I will do.
Enjoy your night on the new track.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That's the... The twins, as we call them, Tilly and Lauren Owens. Mm. Amber, who used to do it, is now over in America, taking her education in there. So the twins have taken over. But this should and will put Newark Athletic Club into a different sort of era completely, won't it?
Sounds like a fantastic facility. We need to get down and check it out for ourselves.
It's gone from... nothing to what there is now in 6 to 9 months. There is two 3G football pitches, totally enclosed, floodlit, and they really are lovely to play on. Mm. And the running track that they've opened tonight, the building is going up next, and then they're going to look at tennis and cycling. And this is next door. They've got their own car park now, next door to the Sports and Leisure Centre. Just down the road at Lowfields, they've now got floodlights. At the rugby club, a multi-million pound, that's somewhere else you ought to go and have a look in there, multi-million pound. There's a second cricket pitch going up at on Kellam Road for Newark R&M. Sport in Newark, on the back of what we were saying, Rachel, is just going to a new level.
No, it is. It's a huge amount going on, I think. Like you say, in all aspects, really.
And we've got some cracking sports people.
Mm.
Got some... wonderful clubs, but cracking sports people. And I just wonder, with all these new facilities, in 3 or 4 years' time, just where that's going to take some of these. Because it is for the youngsters, isn't it? Newark, it's for Amelia Christian.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's for Joseph Monk, Josh Cleek. It's for those, isn't it? It's not for us. It's for those that's going to benefit.
Mm. Absolutely. It's great to hear there are so many of them down there tonight, actually, experiencing it from the first time.
It's
fantastic.
Get yourself down there and have a look at it. It is absolutely fantastic. Right, we're about a minute from finding out if 60 miles over the Lake District, non-stop, including a trip to the local spa, can be trumped by her husband. I'm still saying it can't be. We will see. But first of all, some more of those local headlines that we didn't quite tell you at the start of the show. Two youngsters from Newark Amateur Boxing Club had mixed fortunes on Friday evening. Alfie Briggs-Price performed well and dominated his opponent, but lost on a split decision. This is Alfie's first ever defeat. But a big night for Mac O'Brien, getting his hand raised again against a very tough opponent. Flowsaver playing tonight. But going back to Saturday, that crowd of 253 at Lowfields was the fourth highest Step 6 crowd in the country, beaten only by Racing Club Warwick, Hallam and Emily. The Works are also fourth in the most goal-scored race. Plymouth Argyle Reserves lead the way in that one. What could be better in this town? It's absolutely fantastic. Get yourselves down to Lowfields tonight. There's still time. And just see what all the fuss is about.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
But that's only after you found out if Richard can outdo his wife. As we now look at Richard's 2018, which is going to be cycling, it's going to be running, and it could almost be anything. I'm just going to sit back and listen because I know we're going to get a cracking story.
Well, you've set me up there, and I think it is going to be difficult to match Rachel's achievement, but... Yeah, I mean, for myself, it's been a mixture of cycling and running. The first part of the year, probably a bit of a slow start with the cycling racing season, but you know, I sort of got into my my stride, as it were, into my pedal stroke, and you know, started in improving on my times. But I was actually trying to split my training between cycling and running, because I knew that my 10K personal best time was actually relatively poorer than either my 5K or my half marathon time. So I'd wanted to improve on that. I wanted to improve on it in 2017, but that didn't happen because the pesky knee injury that I had actually recurred in the warm-up before the Woodall Spa 10K. So, yeah, I thought, right, so I'll go even more local. I went to the Summer Solstice 10K at Long Bennington. Obviously, there were loads of not fast there, loads of striders, various other people from Newark Park Run that we know. And, yeah, I managed to sort of split my training nicely between the cycling and the running, and dip below the 43 minutes that I wanted for, you know, a big new 10K PB. So, you know, very chuffed with that, but, you know, it's quite a modest achievement overall. But
Still Rachel.
It is still Rachel, absolutely. but then it was a case of switching back to the cycling, sort of easing off on the running, because I knew, looking at the racing calendar, that there would be plenty of opportunities to ride fast courses over different distances, time trialing, particularly in the month of September. Culminating actually in the National 50 Mile Time Trial Championship, which was held on the A46 between Thrussington and Farndon and back. What had happened was it was originally supposed to be run in July, but got called off at the last minute because Highways Agency put up some cones early for some roadworks, so rendered the course unusable. But yeah, I managed to improve on my 10-mile time trial PB, only by 1 second, so definitely not more impressive than
still
than
Rachel's
feet. I then equaled my PB at 25 miles, so again, Rachel's still more impressive. We got particularly good weather conditions for a 30-mile time trial down near Newmarket. And, you know, I absolutely smashed my PB by nearly 3 minutes. And that was the day that the competition record, so the overall fastest time on any course ever, went, I think, 3 times. So it was actually an exceptionally fast day. So that was great. But then, yeah, Saturday the 29th of September was the National 50-mile time trial. And because I was a co-organiser for our club's open hill climb, later in the day, I asked the organiser for an early start, and he said, that's fine, but I have to put all the ladies off together, but I'll put you off straight after the ladies. So I thought, well, that's fine by me. So unfortunately, it was quite a cold morning, which meant sort of trying to work out what to wear was a bit more difficult, because normally you can just wear a skin suit and that's it. But also, of course, the course running northeast and then coming back southwest meant that going out was going to be nice and fast, and coming back was going to be increasingly painful. Because anyone who's driven along the A46 knows that actually it's relatively more uphill towards Leicester, and you got to get over 6 hills, etc. So the first half was great fun, and the second half was increasingly less fun and more painful. However, a couple of mates from the club did turn up unannounced and stood by the side of the carriageway and cheered myself and a couple of clubmates on, which was nice, sort of cheered me up. But yeah, with the conditions, I was nowhere near a PB on the day, but actually it was very nice to be part of, you know, a big event, a national event, so all the best riders were riding, and I was nowhere near last, so happy days.
But we can clarify that you spent the day chasing the ladies.
Yeah, I caught, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5. But then, you know, a few other...
This conversation could go wrong very quickly.
It could go badly
very
wrong.
Quickly.
Indeed, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I got caught myself, including by one of my teammates and good mates, who'd started 5 minutes behind me. So that put me firmly in my place. So, yeah, there you have it. A reasonably satisfying season. A few personal bests. But, yeah, I think Rachel wins hands down.
What Richard has failed to mention so far is that he was actually a massive part of my achievement in the Lake District, because Richard came along as my sort of unofficial support crew, and was having, basically a fantastic time. I think he actually enjoyed the event more than I did, Mick. He was more excited about it. He kept popping up at various road crossings and feed stations, and... although I think he did actually go and lie down in his tent for a couple of hours, he was basically on the go just as much as I was, and was probably actually enjoyed it as much as I did, or if not more.
It's funny, actually, because my other favourite couple who I love listening to where they've been and what they've been up to is Rob and Louise.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, Louise is the open water swimmer, and Rob is, in theory, the safety boat, even though on Coniston he did sort of sink and have to be rescued.
Yes, we do.
Louise had to stop swimming, which we never mention at all.
No, I'm sure you don't, Mick. No, we didn't know that.
Especially if Rob forgot to tell me about it, but Louise did. But doesn't that make it even better when you can go out together?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, it does. It helps massively. I mean, we do... Yeah, I guess we both sort of support each other's sports. So, Richard came and was there for me for that. When he was, he just mentioned his club were doing a hill climb. I went along and was a marshal at the hill climb. And, you know, I enjoy that probably more than I would if I was actually taking part in the event myself. But, no, we are very much both sort of involved in the running and cycling communities, really. Richard increasingly so in the running community. He's becoming more involved in Mud and Miles and joining us out on runs and getting into his off-road running as well, which is really good to see.
I mean, sport is very important to both of you. It's very important to Team Orgo. I appreciate that. In your profession, Richard, how important is it for people to be involved in sport? And that then dovetails back into the likes of Mud and Miles and the running clubs. If you don't want to be competitive these days, you don't have to be. I know I said about competitive. If you're a professional sportsman, yes, you are competitive. But it's like it's a family outing when you two go out. Sport can be very good. I know Striders have started something on the mental awareness of and going out. It's good to talk, for an old saying, isn't it? And you've said already that Mud and Miles is good. How much, Richard First, would you recommend people to make that leap and join one of these? I'm not saying who's best and who's great, but one of these clubs, but just go and say, hi, can I have a run and a walk? Or can I play table tennis? Or can I do anything? Can I go swimming? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, for those listeners that don't know what I do when I'm not wearing Lycra, I'm a pharmacist by profession. I work in two GP practices. I've literally, had my first day at Southall Medical Centre today. I've been working in Balderson Surgery in my current role as a, clinical pharmacist since June. So my bread and butter is actually doing medication reviews for patients. Now, that doesn't just focus on the medication, it's the health and the lifestyle as well. So it's something that practice nurses are very, very good at, and my colleagues do a lot of that. But we recognise as healthcare professionals that every time a patient is sat in front of you is a chance to talk to them, about their health, but about their overall welfare, and that's their physical health, but also their mental health. And one of the other local surgeries, Barmbygate Surgery, are now officially partnering with Parkrun. As Parkrun are setting this up around the country for all GP practices that want to be involved. But they've forged closer links with Newark Park Run. And so there's that opportunity to say to people, look, there are options out there. You don't have to be a hardcore runner that sprints around Sconce Park in 17 minutes or whatever. Everybody is welcome. You can walk around, you can do whatever you can do. So there's a sort of couch to 5K schemes as well as part run. But there's also people out there, you know, like Tom, like Rachel, that will take on people from all sorts of backgrounds that just want to get fitter and to be healthier and feel better about themselves.
And this is one of the reasons why I like Mud and Miles so much, because there's a social aspect to it as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yes,
know, I
yeah.
mean, people do get lonely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know, you know, people who look forward to part run and then look forward to the next part run and then the next part run. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with going to football. So people do get lonely. So what you do, Rachel, is... put them back in a family as well. Yes, okay, you go out for a run and a jog and a walk.
Yeah, yeah,
get,
but it's...
You know, and you get mud all over you and all things like that.
Yeah, yeah, but it's...
You also laugh.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's it's incredibly social. And, you know, that's one of the real positives of, you know, as my groups and as the business has got bigger and bigger, that I'm getting, you know, more people coming along, more regular people coming along. And, you know, a lot of those people come for the social benefits as much as the running. You know, they like to know that, you know, they're going to turn up, they're going to have people to run with, people to chat with. And, you know, it's quite a social occasion, really. And, you know, now certainly on a couple of my runs and sessions per week, we've actually, you know, we've now got a regular feature of it, is we actually almost have another social session afterwards, in that we go to, you know, if we're on a Thursday morning, my group's in Sconce Park, we go now just routinely to Rumbles afterwards, to the cafe, for tea and a chat. On my, you know, guided runs out in the countryside, we'll go to wherever the nearest cafe or pub is and have a drink together. In fact, on Thursday night this week, we've got our first actual sort of Mud and Miles social night out, where there'll be no running kit in sight, but basically, you know, a group of people who actually want to go out and spend the evening together and eat and drink and enjoy each other's company. And, you know, I've got clients who I can see, you know, over time, the real positive impact that has on them. You know, you can just tell that it's helping them to manage their mental health and to, you know, be more confident, be happier. And, you know, that's incredibly rewarding, incredibly rewarding.
And that, Richard, from your professional point of view, again, is something I think has changed fantastically for the good in the last 10, 15 years, because when I played sport, you went home, end of, and if it wasn't good enough, you didn't play sport. But now you don't have to be brilliant. You can get out there.
That's right, yeah. It's mass participation, and everybody is included, and there's a level for everybody, and you're not going to be turned away if you're not good enough.
So that's a tremendous plus, isn't it? Mm. It really is a tremendous plus. Did you get time to have a holiday then, or did is cycling take over all through summer? I mean, how do you two relax? Or do you relax?
Yeah, our main holiday earlier this year was actually, it was kind of a holiday stroke training camp, because we went to the Lake District for a week, partly because it was my birthday, but we went so that we could hill walk, including recceing lots of the route that I would be running. So I guess our holidays, you know, when we do have a holiday, it's active. You know, this weekend we've just been down in Devon visiting my parents, and, you know, we did park run, we went out for a walk each day. So I guess our relaxation is... it's quite often, it's walking, isn't it? It's running.
I was assuming you were going to take me to Scotland, but you didn't.
We haven't been to Scotland this year, Meg.
Have you not got all these Munros sorted out yet?
No.
I mean, you know, you've not moved on.
No. They're still having to form an orderly queue, waiting to be ticked off. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully next year, although next year for me, I'm part of an 18-month... educational pathway for clinical pharmacists, including doing the independent prescribing course, so I can actually prescribe rather than making a suggestion to someone else to prescribe. So that will leave my spare time a bit limited. But we would rather like to get up to the far northwest of Scotland, to the sort of Cape Wrath area. So there are a few Munros around there, but there's a fantastic coastal path to be walked or run along. So that's a possibility for, well, after I finish the prescribing course, maybe July, maybe August, if there's not too many midges.
So how many, is it still, how many to go?
Oh, I'm still stuck on, I think it's 48 to go.
Oh, you've not moved on.
Yeah, I've not moved on.
No Munros this year, Mick, no.
You're keeping him too busy.
No, it's just, yeah. Oh, no, it's not me on this occasion.
Now it's coming out.
No.
Now it's coming out. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Graham at the Striders, and then we're going to find out what, other than Richard's work, hopefully 2019 is going to bring for them both. Tuesday night, 7:45, can only mean one thing. The Striders report with Graham. Graham, good evening.
Good evening to you.
As usual, I know when to be quiet. I'm going to let you take it away.
Okie doke. I think we'll start the weekend roundup down at Rutland Water, where I'm sure Rachel would approve. We had the Rutland 10K night runs, and we had four Striders taking part in those. There were actually events on Friday night and Saturday night, so it was head torches on for Stephen Tomlinson on Friday night. He did the 10K in 55 minutes and 8 seconds. Then on Saturday evening, we had three people down there. Nick Beveridge did the course in 46 minutes and 56 seconds, and Stacey Atkins 1 hour 9 minutes and 19 seconds, and Sarah Jane Cobb at 1 hour 9 minutes and 36 seconds. On to Sunday, and we were over at Long Sutton, which is in the Fens, for the Long Sutton 10K, and Lewis Hopkinson was there in fine form. He came 12th overall, and he's been trying for quite some time to get under 36 minutes for 37 minutes, I should say, for 10K, and he did that on Sunday. 36 minutes and 47 seconds for a new PB for Lewis. And Steve Martin, who's there too, had a really strong run, just outside his own personal best time, but very close. 44 minutes and 56 seconds. Also on Sunday, not a race at all, but it was a very very good event. It was the All Clubs Run associated with the Newark Half Marathon, and there was a massive turnout. There must have been at least 40 people there. I took a photograph, and could count 40 people in that, and there were some people who weren't in the photo. So a really good turnout from all the clubs. Plenty of yellow shirts and plenty of orange shirts and plenty of people from Fernwood and Newark AC as well. So a really great event. We did 10K and 7K routes options. And part of those routes was, as is usually the case with these runs, on the actual course of the Newark Half Marathon. So really good event there. And back to Saturday, really, all four runners who were at the Rutland night runs were at Park Run, along with many other Striders. We really like attending Park Run, turnout in force, and we had a Park Run tour with the club up to Oakwell Hall, which is in Leeds. So a fair amount of Striders went up for that. Quite a few of them are trying to do a bit of a challenge with the Park Run, do the A to Z. So basically do Park Runs that begin with each letter of the alphabet. And they were picking off an O for their challenge up at Leeds there. And again, we had a good turnout at Newark. Plenty of Striders running the Park Run there, including eight people who got personal best times. Maybe even 8.5, because I equaled my own personal best on the day. So it doesn't really count, but 8.5 there, I think. So a great...
That's a sneaky half.
Sorry?
That's a sneaky half.
Yeah, it is a half. It's still a PB, isn't it? It's still the fastest time I've ever run. It's not the first time I did it. But, yeah, so it was a great day on Saturday for Park Run as well in the club. And I think I'll have that drum roll, please. So, on the upcoming Friday night, it is the Battle of the Brains. Not Fast versus Striders, the Quiz of the Century up at Winthorpe. It's a sellout, I'm afraid, so it's going to be people from the clubs and their family and friends only, but it's the Battle of the Brains. And again, we've had a few friendly competitions through the summer. We've had rounders, and we've had football. Modesty forbids me from mentioning which club won those two events, but Not Fast trying to get their own back and level things off with the Battle of the Brain. So it's all in good fun, all in good spirit, and all in aid of the air ambulance. So looking forward to the quiz night on Friday night.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. That is going to be a laugh a minute. I just can only imagine you lot together trying to have a quiz.
Exactly, with any of the compare.
Oh, no.
It could all get very very messy, but it's all in a great cause. In terms of running, though, at the weekend, there's some running to be done. We've got the Doncaster 10K. Quite a few of us going up for South Yorkshire for that one. And the other thing is, the main thing is the Trust 10K at Clumber Park. We've got a few people taking part in that, including three of our mental health champions. So it's a bit of a run and talk event within the club as well. And the final thing, the Derby 10-miler, we'll have a few people over at that. So it's been a busy week, and it's going to be a busy weekend coming up.
And next weekend, you can tell us if you're the brainiest or the fittest. Well, we know you're the fittest because you won the other two, but we'll see if you're the brainiest. But you've just made the night even better. If Ernie is sitting in the seat asking the questions, then almost anything could happen on Friday night.
It could indeed, yeah. Goodness knows what'll happen.
It's in the lap of the gods, this one is. Graham, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you very, very soon.
Bye now.
Thanks, bye-bye. So, Master of Ceremonies on Friday night is Ernie Clark. Well, it's... speechless already. Absolutely speechless. Okay. Has it finished in 2018? Are you putting your feet up? Are you? Is that it? Well, not for you. You got your party night.
Yeah. No, and I've still got work carrying on. I'll be still working with my clients right up until the weekend before Christmas, so then I hope to have a week off, but it's business as usual, really, for me. Might be getting colder and wetter, but that's not going to stop me. So
well, if it's mud and miles,
absolutely, it's just coming into the right time of year now for running out on trails, so definitely not slowing down yet for a while.
Where do you take them locally then?
Oh, all sorts of places. Today we did a run this morning that was started at Langford Lowfields Nature Reserve near Collingham. We run from all sorts of places. Stapleford Woods, quite often down in the Vale of Beaver. Anywhere that basically there's, you know, some nice woods, some open grounds, could be by the river. As long as, you know, all we need basically is somewhere where there's enough space for people to park and some good footpaths. And, I've got lots of different routes.
And preferably a tea room not far away.
If possible, yeah. Usually we can find one within reasonable distance, yes. Doesn't always work, but, our Christmas treat is going to be running from Newfield Dairy because that's always a good one.
Yes.
Yeah. Have an ice cream or a hot chocolate or something afterwards.
It's the views from that place
are superb. Yeah, absolutely
they?
Beautiful.
Superb.
Yeah.
You won't believe the views you get from there.
Yeah, no, there's some lovely views around there. There's really nice runs in that part of the county. So
it's when you get out. There's an old thing. There's an old saying, isn't there, that you don't appreciate where you live.
Absolutely,
I go up to the daughters at Whitley Bay and I would love to be up there. It's got all the things I like up there. And, you know, and then you come back, well, hang on a minute, we have got a lovely town.
We have, yeah.
And
yeah.
The countryside around this town is...
Yeah,
is,
we've got some beautiful places, real variety as well. That's what's really nice is, you know, try and mix it up. So we might do woodland run 1 week, riverside another week, then we'll have maybe a hilly one week, a flatter one. You know, we haven't got the sea, but we've got pretty much everything else.
Yes, and you've got the hills, and if you want to...
That's it, yeah.
And so is the bike sort of in pieces and all sort of rubbed down and sort of put away in?
Oh, now you're guilt-tripping me. I think you must have seen the state of it.
Okay, should the bike be in pieces and all cleaned?
It should be cleaned, yeah, definitely, yeah, all of them. So, yeah, I mean, I've not been riding as much because I've been doing more running, although I managed to turn my ankle at Park Run down in Devon last weekend, so having to take it easy for a few days. But no, I'm really enjoying doing more running at the moment, so I've just been doing bits and pieces on the bike, really.
Excellent. What will it be taken apart and methodically cleaned?
I'm not particularly mechanically minded, so I'd probably be able to take it apart, but whether I'd be able to put it back together again is another question. So, I'll just sort of clean the bits I can reach. No, I mean, joking apart, they're not in too bad condition because it's all on-road use, so they're not particularly mucky. But, yeah, I do need to get on and do them.
You say bikes. How many? Or is that a loaded question?
Not enough is the answer, question. Mick, in his opinion.
The answer's always N plus one, where N's the number you've got and N plus one's the number you'd like. I've got four. I've got two road bikes, my original road bike, which effectively is my sort of older winter one. I've got the summer road bike that I use, well, all summer, but particularly for racing. And then I've got the time trial bike for time trialing. So I've only got four. That's not that many.
He says, full of and kept in the front room, are they, too?
Absolutely not, no. We're very lucky to have a garage where they live, because otherwise they would be in the front room if Richard had his own way. But no, they're banished to the garage.
But also in the garage are several shoe racks full of trainers.
Right.
So this lady here to my left is the Imelda Marcos of the trainer world.
All that? Very necessary and all very worn.
You see, he's getting his own back on you.
He is, I know, Mick, I know. It's all right, I'm used to him.
A few late blows.
So we've said 2019 is more than likely going, work is going to be very much first and foremost.
Yeah, so I'll just do some training when I can. So that, I think, will probably be more running than biking. I mean, I'll do some biking, but maybe not competitively. But no, I mean, Rachel alluded to it earlier, but with her loving the Lakes Traverse so much and me loving supporting her, I'm actually strongly considering giving it a go myself when it next runs in April 2020. So that just shows how she's infiltrated my brain and turned me into a runner.
Yes.
Well, I think we've got to give it to you, Rachel. You, that was the highlight.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That was the highlight for both of you for 2018, and it must rank up there in the old sporting bucket list somewhere near the top?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was a very, a very rewarding event to do in the sense that a lot of races are a loop, so you kind of start and finish in the same place, but because this was literally, you know, starting by the sea and running pretty much to the border on the other side of Cumbria, you know, in a straight line, I find that kind of event much more rewarding than running around in a circle. So very, yeah, quite meaningful. Because I used to live in the Lake District as well. It had a lot of meaning for me.
Going back home, it's your favourite.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody said to you, where is the favourite place to live?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. That would be my, yeah. If I had, you know, unlimited money, I would have a house with massive windows in the Lake District without any shadow of a doubt. With fantastic views, no question about it.
Would you go Lake District, or would you go a bit further north? I think you'd go further north.
Maybe slightly further north. No, I mean, I did a year's training, after leaving university as a pharmacist in the Lake District as well, so I'd very happily live in the Lake District. And it's just a short trip up the M6 and M74 to the bigger mountain further north.
Brilliant. As ever, it's been fantastic having you both in the studio tonight and find out what you've both been up to, because it's busy, busy, busy. It's perpetual motion with you two. Mm. It really is. Tomorrow night, a young lady's coming in who was actually now the Commonwealth Boxing Champion.
Oh, wow.
Nina Bradley's coming to see us tomorrow night. So we look forward to that one and what she's got to us. And she's actually fighting again on Sunday. So we're going to look back and we're going to look forward. Me, I'm off to Lowfields. If you're down there listening to this on the radio, I'll see you in about 5 minutes. Bye-bye.